Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong. Well, good morning. Today we will be continuing and wrapping up the series called Abide in Me. Let's look at our key passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me.
I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you could do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The very first week that we looked at this, we looked at the fact that pruning is necessary. And pruning is not always pretty. It's certainly not always fun. It can sometimes be painful in our lives when God comes in and He begins to take things away that are causing us to not be fruitful. But sometimes those things are necessary in order for us to get to the place where we are living in God's will, where we are abiding in Him and producing fruit. And sometimes that's necessary in order for us to get to a place where we can be productive and where we can grow. And then last week we looked at no root, no fruit. We must send down in our lives strong roots in order to be healthy. Rooting ourselves in good soil promotes strong, healthy growth and protects us against the storms of life and allows us to be more fruitful. It keeps us healthy, keeps us strong, keeps us producing for the Lord. So as we look at these two passages, the logical conclusion to all of this would be, what is the point of a fruit or a fruit tree? What is the point of a grapevine? The point is to bear fruit. And this passage talks about how when we abide in Christ, when we allow the Spirit to flow through us, when we remain in the vine, our lives are productive. And it calls this produce that our lives will produce, it calls it fruit. And when we talk about what is fruit today, I want to ask you a question, and I have a little illustration here for you today. I'm going to ask you, what's in your basket? What do you have in your basket? When someone looks at your life, what fruit do they see? Now, I brought just a simple little fruit basket here, and it's got different kinds of fruit in it. And what are we talking about when we talk about scriptural fruit, when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit? In order to look at that, we're going to turn over to Galatians chapter 5, and this is where we're going to spend some time. In Galatians chapter 5, many of you may be familiar with this passage. We're going to begin in verse 19 and following. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. And then there goes on to give a do not list. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. They're sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy. Fractions can be that too. Right, graduates? Fractions? Yeah, factions. Factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the do not list. So now let's look at what we want in our basket. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, there's two lists here in this passage. There's one that we want to avoid, obviously, and then there's one that when we abide in Christ, when we remain attached to the vine, when our branch is pruned, when we're well-rooted in our lives, these things happen in our lives. Now, if you'll notice in Scripture here, the first list talks about the acts, or if you're reading a different passage, it may say the works. These are things that are activities, things that are happening because of willful decisions in our life that we do, works and acts. But I think it's very interesting that they use that word to describe the do not list, things that you have to do. But then when he's describing the things that happen in our lives, the produce that comes from our lives, when we stay connected with God, when we're filled with the Spirit, when we're yielding to him and allowing him to produce in us the things that come from him, those things aren't called works. They're not called acts. They're called fruit. They're fruit. And we're going to look at some of the aspects of what is a fruit and what is the significance of that word being used in that passage. And the first thing I want to look at is that fruit is a natural outcome of a healthy plant. That plant, just because it is an apple tree, if it is a healthy plant, and if it is a well-pruned plant, and if it has roots that grow deep, and it is being all of the appleness that it can be, it's just going to do it. It's just going to produce apples. It doesn't have to try. It doesn't have to bear down real good. It doesn't have to study more. It just happens. That's just a fruit tree. It's the natural outcome of a healthy plant. I have several trees on my property that bear fruit. We have some pecan trees, we have pear trees, apple trees, we have a few peach trees, we have some blueberry bushes, we have a muscadine vine that you guys saw some pictures of a couple of weeks ago. And in addition to that, we like to plant a garden every year. And we go out and we plant cucumbers and tomatoes and some peppers and beans and things like that. And it's really cool to go out and see these things begin to bear fruit. We also have honeybees, many of you know. And when we go to get to a certain time of the year, which is coming up real soon, we get to go in and we get to harvest the fruit of having these honeybees, the produce that they have, and we get sweet, delicious honey. And when we go out to these trees, when we go out in our garden, when we go out to the beehives, and we are looking for the produce of those things, whether it's the tree or the vine or whatever, we're not surprised when we walk up to a cucumber plant and there's a cucumber hanging there. Wow, how did that get there? You know, when we go out to the peach tree, we're not surprised. Well, maybe we are because we have a real hard time getting our peaches to produce. But we're not surprised when we see a peach hanging on our peach tree, because that's what it is, right? It's the natural outcome of being a peach tree, is that it is going to produce peaches, right? So if these plants that we have on our garden, if they're on our farm, if they are healthy, and if they have all the nutrients that they need, and they've been well taken care of, and they've been pruned well, and the root system is good, they're just naturally going to automatically produce the fruit that they're supposed to produce. They don't have to try at it. It just happens. That's just what they are. It's no surprise to us when we find a tomato on our tomato plant. And it's the same thing with us as well. When we're talking about spiritual fruit, as we abide in the vine, that vine being Jesus Christ in our life, when we stay rooted and connected with him, God is going to come out of us. The produce, the fruit of the Spirit of God is going to just naturally be evident in our life when we stay connected with him. When we remain in him, when we continue to yield to the work of the Spirit in our life, this is just going to happen. It will be a natural outcome of who we are in Christ, in much the same way that the natural outcome of a muscadine vine is for it to grow muscadines. It's just going to happen in our lives. We shouldn't be surprised in our lives when we're continued to stay attached to Christ, when we continue to abide in the vine, when we continue to nurture our spiritual life and put down roots in good soil. We shouldn't be surprised when we become more and more and more like Jesus, because that's just the natural outcome of being a well-connected Christian in the Spirit. It's just what happens. And the same thing happens in the opposite of that. Just like a fruit tree that's not producing its fruit is an indication of an unhealthy plant, or most of the time, in my case, is an unskilled gardener, which wouldn't be the case in God's situation, but for me, sometimes that's the reason. It's not because of the plant, it's because I messed up. A Christian who is not bearing spiritual fruit is unhealthy. There's something wrong there. Just like when I come out to my tomato plants and it's not producing good tomatoes, I know that there's something wrong. There's been some type of parasite, or there's been a lack of nutrients or a lack of water. There's something wrong if that tomato plant is not producing tomatoes. The same thing happens with us. If your life is not producing more love, more joy, more peace, more patience, more kindness, more goodness, if these things aren't coming out of you naturally more and more as you grow, then there's something wrong. Because the fruit of the Spirit is a natural outcome of a healthy Christian. What's the second thing I want to look at for fruit? Fruit is an indicator of what type of plant you have. When I go out to pick my garden, I expect to find tomatoes on my tomato plant. I expect to find the blueberries on my blueberry bushes, right? I expect to find muscadines hanging from my muscadine vines, squash on the squash plants, cukes on the cucumber plant. That's what I expect to find because those fruits are an indicator of what type of plant that is. In fact, the fruit of a plant is one of the main identifying characteristics of that plant. If you ever use, anybody know what a Peterson's guide is? Anybody, any outdoorsmen here? No? Well, there's these cool things called Peterson's guides, and you can get them for all kinds of different things, and you can identify things in nature, plants, animals, or whatever, by their characteristics. And these characteristics are broken down into categories, and the shape of the leaf, and the type of fruit, and the flowers, and that kind of thing that you would find on that plant. And you can narrow it down until you find out, okay, well, that's a whatever plant, because of the characteristics of that plant. And one of the things that it asks you to look for in the Peterson's guide is, what's it growing? What kind of fruit is there? That's how you identify some of those plants. And in the same way, the Bible tells us that the world, that they, it says in Scripture, will know Christians by our love. And that's one of the fruit of the Spirit, love. In fact, it's the main overarching fruit of the Spirit, and that is love. And when people look at your life, and they're trying to identify where you stand, are you a Christian? Are you with God? Are you not? They should be able to look at your life, and they should be able to identify you by your fruit. What's hanging on your life? What are you producing? What is coming out of you? When you get into a pressured situation, what happens? Does love come out of you? Does patience and gentleness come out of you? Or does anger and wrath and dissension and fractions come out of you? What comes out of you when you get into a pressured situation? Because that's going to help identify who you are. And when people look at your life and they see the fruit of the Spirit hanging in your life, and they see that that's what's coming out of you and what you're producing, they're going to know there's something special about that person. They're different. They're going to identify you with Christ, because that's just part of what a fruit does. The third thing I want to look at today that a fruit does is one of the main purposes, if not the main purpose, for a fruit on a tree is for reproduction. The main purpose is to spread the seeds of that plant in order that it might reproduce and spread. And any fruit that you look at, either in it or on it, is going to be the seeds of that plant. And God designed them that way because the fruit is there as an attractant to other animals and critters and birds and all those kinds of things, as a delivery device so that they'll want that fruit. You know, this delicious apple or this, you know, tasty pear or whatever it is, they want to eat it because in doing so, they'll take that and they'll carry it somewhere else. And by means of natural processes, they will deposit the seeds somewhere else, right? I don't want to get too graphic there. Do you guys get the picture? The seeds inside are spread because of the attractiveness of that fruit. Things want that. Animals want these things. We want these things. And in doing so, we take those fruit, animals take those fruit, and they distribute the seeds other places. And then by doing so, the plant gets to reproduce, and its territory begins to grow and expand. And the same thing is true of the spiritual fruit in our lives. When we're growing spiritual fruit, when our lives are producing these things, these love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, when those things are coming out of us, we become attractive to other people. People look at us and they see our lives and they say, I want what she's got. Whatever that is, it's attractive to me. And that fruit of the Spirit coming out of us makes us not only grow the kingdom by being kingdom people here on earth, but we're also spread kingdom by others saying, I want more of what they've got. And that by doing so, that fruit in our life attracts others to us. And in doing so, we're able to spread the seeds of the gospel into other people's lives. And they say, why do you have so much self-control in that area? I just can't do that. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about the Spirit that lives inside of us. And in doing so, you're able to share the gospel with others. You're able to spread that seed of goodness in other areas. As others see your good fruit, they will then be drawn to the gospel. Our good fruit will spread the seeds of the gospel, much like a ripe apple eaten by a deer. Its seeds are then deposited somewhere else, and we begin to spread the gospel and spread the good news of Jesus Christ. So today, I want to ask you, what's in your basket? What's in your spiritual fruit basket? When people look at your life, what do they see? One of my favorite things during the summer, we haven't even gotten our garden put in the ground yet this year. We're a little behind. But when we do, one of my favorite things to do is to go out with a bag or a basket or something out to the garden. And I'm always so excited when I come back with a bunch of big old crooked neck cucumbers and some big ripe homegrown tomato. There is nothing like a homegrown tomato, is there? Man, that stuff they put on the burgers at burger joints, that's not even a tomato once you've had it. Once you've had a real tomato, I love bringing back the fruit from outside. You know, we're coming up on harvest time for our honey, and I just love that time of year because you get to see the fruits of your labor, of all the time and money and efforts that you've invested in planting and growing and harvesting and tending and caring for these things, and then you get to see what comes back. How does God think about your basket? When you're bringing your basket of fruit, or when I'm bringing my basket of vegetables and stuff back in, I'm so proud of that. Look at that. That's cool, isn't it? We get to eat that tonight or whatever. When God looks at your life, does he say, look at that. That's my son. See that? That's me coming out of him. I see that's me in his basket. That's me in her basket. What's in your basket? As we examine our lives, I want to ask you, what's in your basket? Graduates, how will you be remembered? When people think back about you and your time in high school, or even as you move on into the next areas of your life, whether it be college or whatever, when people think about you, when people recall you, when people remember you, what are they going to say about you? How will you be remembered? What will they remember as being the fruit of your life? Will the comments be something, oh, she was so pretty, or he was such a good Carl the Giant? Or he was so popular, or she played a beautiful violin, or he was such a great athlete, or man, what a sharp dresser. You know, all those things are good. There's nothing wrong with those things. But is that going to be the identifying factor of your life? Is that what they're going to remember you by? I hope that all those things will be things they remember you by. But will the identifying factors of your life be those things that are trivial, those things that are passing, or will they be eternal things? Things that God wants in your basket. What will leave a lasting, eternal effect on your peers, on your roommates, on your professors, on your teammates, on your coworkers, as you move on in life? Is not going to be those things that get you the most popular in the yearbook. It's going to be the things that are lasting and eternal. Only the fruit that is yielded by a life that is yielded to the Spirit and by someone abiding permanently in the vine of Christ will leave a lasting impact on others. I want to challenge you, graduates and congregation, this is for everyone, this is for me, this is for all of us. What is it in your life that's in your fruit basket? What's in there? Abide in Christ. Allow His Spirit to manifest His fruit in you. Live a life that is marked by these things. Let's go through that list again. Live a life that is marked by love. The fruit of the Spirit is founded on love. In fact, some people might argue that the fruit of the Spirit is love, and then say that there's a break there and that all of these other things come from a life that is filled with love. But regardless of whether what your hermeneutics is on this scripture, that passage really does begin with the most important of those fruit, and that is love. It's the overarching quality that needs to be found in all of these other things, that needs to be the motivation for all of these other things. That love of God that's in us, God's love in us for others. Love must come first. Love must be the motivation, the inspiration, and the perpetuation of the fruit in your life. Otherwise, the fruit that comes out of you, it won't be genuine. The fruit that comes out of you won't be lasting. You won't be able to bear that fruit with any consistency. So I'm going to challenge you, students, graduates, congregation, as you're looking and as you're asking the question, what is in my basket? I want to ask you, is love in your basket? Let love be in your basket. Joy. As you move through life, I want you to seek to allow the joy of God to exude from your life. Now, I'm not talking about happiness. It's good to be happy. Everybody wants to be happy, right? But there's a big difference between happiness and joy. Joy is the deep-seated presence of God in your life that nothing can shake. But happiness is usually dependent upon our circumstances, right? It's affected by our circumstances. Joy, on the other hand, is unshakable. Our circumstances cannot touch it because it's rooted in God. It's rooted in who we are, our identity in Christ. When God is the source of your joy, then we're constantly seeking outward, we aren't constantly seeking outward experiences and people to bring us happiness. Let me repeat that and read it the right way. When God is the source of our joy, then we aren't constantly seeking outward experiences and people to bring us happiness. But we're finding joy in God Himself, because people, experiences, all of those things will change and they will let you down, but God never will. Let that be your seat of joy in your life, and let joy be found in your basket. Peace. Jesus talked about peace when He said in John chapter 14, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And lest you think that being a Christian and being an abiding in the vine and staying rooted in God will keep you from all of these other things that cause us to lose our peace, He goes on to tell us in John chapter 16, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble." If somebody told you when you come to God everything's going to be all, you know, peaches and roses and whatever, they lied to you, because Jesus promised us that we will have trouble. In fact, He tells us that if you follow me and you're truly sold out for me, you're going to suffer for me. But when we live a life that's marked with peace, we know that Jesus also said, "Take heart, I have overcome the world." The Holy Spirit brings us inner peace, which can exist and does exist in the midst of outward conflict in our life. It's not dependent upon what's going on to us. It's deep-seated in us. This peace flows from an implicit faith, one that says, "I trust God, and I know that He can handle all my problems." And this faith itself is augmented by the Holy Spirit, who introduces us more and more and more and more to the depths of the love of God in our life, that love that is the foundation of this peace. Let peace be found in your basket. Patience. Have a long fuse with other people. Students, this will go a long way. Have a long fuse with other people. Another way of saying patience is forbearance. You're going to run up against people who are just going to require a little more grace from you. I call them EGR, extra grace required. You run into these people sometimes more often than you really want to. And this patience that is a fruit of God being in your life and the Spirit oozing out of you, this patience that comes from you, it'll allow us to show forbearance to those who just aren't your cup of tea, or maybe just don't really get it, right? And graduates, as you get out there in the real world and start, you know, working jobs and having to deal with professors and all these kind of things, and get out there where you're, you know, kind of out of the shelter of your home and your school and your group of friends, you're going to run into more and more of these people that are EGR. And you're going to go, oh, there's one. I need to let Pastor Aaron know I saw one. And hopefully, because of the connection that you have with Christ, that abiding in Him, you're going to show patience and forbearance for those. And people will look at your life and they'll see the patience in your basket. Kindness. There's such a gracefulness about someone who was always kind, isn't there? You know people like that. People just, it doesn't matter what happened. They're kind. They're just kind to you. You could have cut them off in traffic and, you know, done something really horrible to them and told all kinds of lies, and they're just kind to you. There's just something graceful about that. And I was reminded as I was preparing for this, and my wife likes to say this to my kids, the Tim McGraw song. Some of the lyrics from this Tim McGraw song says, hold the door, say please, say thank you. Don't steal, don't cheat, and don't lie. I know you got mountains to climb, but always stay humble and kind. Kindness. Kindness is an important thing in our lives, and it's a fruit of the Spirit. As you remain in Him and He remains in you, you will be more kind. And here's the thing, God, being kind won't cost you anything, but it could be invaluable to those who you are kind to. Let kindness be found in your basket. Goodness. Ephesians chapter 2 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The spiritual fruit of goodness is God's work in us towards others. The expression of this fruit is marked by genuine interest in the welfare of others, and it's an overarching character trait. This goodness kind of goes, kind of like love, kind of overarches everything. Goodness does as well. Just be good, be kind to others. Allow this goodness to be something that is a mark of your character in everything that you do, and let goodness be found in your basket. We're getting close to the end. Faithfulness, loyalty to your beliefs and to others is a fruit that is so desperately needed in our culture and in our society today. We know we have a culture of quick divorces and quick and easy divorces and online friendships that are easily kind of you distance from yourself from those people. But someone who is showing the fruit of the Spirit is a faithful person, a loyal person, someone who not only is loyal to God and loyal to their beliefs, but is loyal to others. When people look at you, do they know that you've got their back? Be loyal. Be faithful. Let faithfulness be found in your basket. Gentleness. Blessed are the meek, Jesus says, for they will inherit the earth. The quality of gentleness is not being overly impressed by a sense of one's self-importance. Gentleness, humility, courtesy, considerateness, meekness, all of those kind of go with this gentleness. And let me tell you this, meekness does not equal weakness. Those are two different things. Meekness, gentleness, is strength under control. Let me say that again. Meekness is strength under control. Be meek in your life. Be gentle to others in your dealing with others. And let your basket be filled with gentleness. And the last one here in the list that we find in this passage is a really difficult one for many, many of us. But the mark of a Christian, the mark of a mature Christian, is one who is yielded to the Spirit and allows the Spirit in you to master fleshly desires. Many of those fleshly desires that are listed in the previous scriptures there, 19 and following. God allows us much pleasure in our lives as long as we are sure to keep Him first and to enjoy life in moderation. That's what self-control is. God has given us much here on earth to enjoy. There's a lot of pleasures in this life, and they are not necessarily in and of themselves bad. God's given them to us as long as we keep Him first in our life and as long as we enjoy life in moderation. That's showing self-control. That's being yielded to the Spirit, allowing the Spirit to demonstrate His control in you. Let self-control be found in your basket. Congregation, graduates, what's in your basket? When people look at your life, what do they see? What is the fruit that they see? My hope for you is that you abide in Christ and yield to the Spirit more and more and more in your life. And your life will become filled by these things, this list that we just looked at, the fruit of the Spirit. And that fruit, the fruit of the Spirit of God in you, will become more and more evident. And you'll draw more and more people to the Lord. And the gospel will be spread. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may His face shine upon you. May He be gracious. May He look into your life. And may He find the fruit of the Spirit growing on your vine. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you soon. Love you guys.